cost Fox News $800 million in legal judgment. So what happened there, as you know, is that Fox News knew the Dominion voting machines did not malfunction or were not perpetrating fraud, yet the network allowed its commentators and guests to say the Dominion machines were corrupt. That was proven to be true, so Fox News had to pay. Now we have an identical situation, not quite as intense because it's not a national election, but the investigation of the Biden family finances. So everybody knows that Vice President Joe Biden back then helped his family amass between $20 and $30 million. Banking records show that. That's not in dispute. Yet, the corrupt left-wing media tells you time after time after time there is no evidence linking President Biden with his son Hunter or his brother Joe. That's false. And more evidence may be produced as an investigation continues. So, you got fraud, no doubt about it. Back in a moment. If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, listen up. CarShield is a low-cost monthly vehicle protection plan now available to you. This protection plan is at an all-time low price. Please call 800-925-7584 for a free quote. Drivers who activate today will also receive free roadside assistance and towing at no additional cost. That is 800-925-7584 right now. That is the Morning O'Reilly Update. More analysis later on.
This is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
I want to let you hear Kevin McCarthy. This is cut one, by the way, as he was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, justifying the impeachment inquiry, which is now underway. Here it is.
You just heard Adam Schiff call you weak as a speaker. Your response?
It's so ironic. Here's a man who lied to the American public. I think we're showing the American public how we follow the Constitution. An impeachment inquiry is simply the ability that gives the Congress the strength to get the answers to the questions. Think about it. All this information we have now found, we never would have known had not the Republicans taken the majority. We now know the president lied to the American public that, yes, he did get involved with his son's business, that they did set up shell companies, that the FBI has an allegation from a whistleblower that the Bidens were bribed. We now have IRS agents that come forward and said the Biden administration, the DOJ, has treated his family different than others, let a statute of limitations run out. And then the whole question lies, did he get involved with Burisma and get a prosecutor fired in Ukraine under his work because of what his son was doing?
Yeah.
These are all allegations that we need answers to. And now we found out just recently that he used different names in emails, so you couldn't FOIA the email and get it, but now we have to have the ability to get that. So I think you see the American public, we're simply following the facts wherever it takes us. But unfortunately, it looks like a culture of corruption with this family.
Yeah, I want to get back to this because I know that there's a lot of people out there who want to know if you are going to subpoena Hunter Biden, Biden family members. So I'll get back to that in a moment. Let's talk about the meetings that you've been having all weekend over this September 30th deadline. What can you tell us in terms of a path forward? Do you have agreement on a path forward?
I feel we made some good progress this weekend. You know, when Republicans took the majority, we wanted to change Washington. We make members show up for work. No more proxy voting. Bills have to go through committee. No more of these omnibuses where bills, the appropriation bills, get jammed to us on Christmas time. But what we're trying to do is pass them individually. Unfortunately, I had a handful of members last week that literally the Republicans stopped the Department of Defense appropriations from coming forward. None of them can complain. This is giving our troops a pay raise, making our military strong against China, getting the wokeism that the Democrats have put in out. And so I'm trying to get that to move forward, to stop, to make sure that the Republicans aren't stopping us from being able to get our work done before the 30th.
So why don't you just bring the bill to the floor to see who would vote against funding the military?
Well, we will do that this week. I gave them an opportunity this weekend to try to work through this, and we'll bring it to the floor, win or lose, and show the American public who's for the Department of Defense, who's for our military, who's for giving them a pay raise and making sure we can take the wokeism out.
That's Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, justifying the impeachment inquiry. Coming up, Victor Jakes. Good friend, solid dude, smart when it comes to politics. We're going to talk about the Russian hackers. We're going to talk about what's going on in Carson City. We're going to talk about the Clark County School District. All that and a whole bunch more coming up. Stay with us. More to do as we continue. It's Monday. Brand new week. Brand new challenges. We're going to face them all right here on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Bringing jobs into our valley. Union Strong means opportunities for personal growth. Union Strong is fellowship, taking care of one another on and off the job site. Our union has been working hard for the interests of working men and women for decades and will always be there for the communities we serve. Laborers Union Local 872, celebrating 85 LIUNA proud years of justice, honor, and strength.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. If you get hurt in a crash, did you know your lawyer can take more money than you? That's right. You get hurt and the lawyer gets rich. Not very fair, is it? When you hire me, those worries go bye, bye, bye. I promise never to take more money than you. And I put it in writing.
If you're tired of greedy lawyers, call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Iran is a big step closer to getting a hold of $6 billion in frozen assets being unfrozen by the Biden administration. The funds have been transferred to Qatar, which is a key step in returning the money to Tehran. While the Biden team insists the funds are earmarked for humanitarian purposes, Iran's president has said the Islamic Republic will spend that money as it sees fit. Ukraine's legal battle against Russia over allegations of genocide used by Moscow to justify its invasion resumes today at the UN's highest court. The BBC's Anna Holligan in The Hague.
Russia initially claimed its action in Ukraine was justified because it was trying to prevent a genocide. At initial hearings last year, Kiev said there was no threat of genocide in eastern Ukraine, and the United Nations 1948 Genocide Convention, which both countries have signed, did not allow an invasion to prevent one. Russia has said the International Court of Justice has no jurisdiction in the case because the Genocide Convention, which forms the basis for Ukraine's claim, does not regulate the use of force between states. While the rulings of the ICJ are binding, it has no direct means of enforcing them.
Stepping up its harassment of Taiwan, Communist China has flown more than 100 military aircraft toward the island, a new daily high for such activity. Taiwan's defense ministry says it also detected a number of Chinese naval vessels nearby. Hunter Biden suing the IRS, arguing that two agents violated his right to privacy when they publicly aired his tax information as they bolstered claims that investigation of Biden was improperly handled. The lawsuit says that personal tax details shared during congressional hearings and interviews are not covered by whistleblower protections. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down 37 points. The Nasdaq is off 8 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800. 800-
This is your KMZQ News Flash. Gaming experts say MGM Resorts International could be losing between $4 and $8 million a day in revenue since that cyber attack against casino began. Yesterday, MGM entered its second week of disrupted operations during the cybersecurity breach. Company officials say they had no new updates on the status of the company's computer systems and no new information posted on the company's website, which apparently still had no useful functions. Customers can make reservations by calling a property directly or by using a third-party booking service. One of the Russian hacking groups claiming responsibility for MGM Resorts' cybersecurity issues that have plagued the casino giant since last Sunday says it will release ransomware on the company's computer systems if a deal is not struck. Now, the hacker group known as Black Cat claims it breached the company's systems with a simple phone call. MGM Resorts, the state's biggest employer, they have 10 casino hotels on the Las Vegas Strip alone. The issues that began last Saturday continue to force customers to wait in long lines to check in, sideline slot machines, and shut down paid parking systems, ATMs, and the company website, as well as those mobile apps inoperable. The FBI investigating the matter. Rental rates here in Southern Nevada are coming down. The website rent.com reports a one-bedroom apartment here in Las Vegas rented for $1,654 in August. That's down nearly 12% from the same time last year. Local real estate officials say some landlords are offering concessions to attract new tenants, including cash as well as free rent. The drop in rents being blamed on the recent influx of new apartments coming into the Las Vegas market. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website, 670kmzq.com. That is 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Hear inspiring stories that are part of the American landscape every night at 10 on Our American Stories. Everyone has a story to tell, and master storyteller Lee Habib tells them on AM 670 KMZQ.
Yo!
Sorry, man. I took an upper to stay awake. My heart started pounding, so I took a downer to take the edge off. Honestly, I feel worse now.
What? One of my friends overdosed after mixing drugs like that. I don't want that to happen to you.
Yeah, I definitely won't be doing that again.
Well, let's stay online for a bit so I know you're okay.
Yeah, man. Bet. Let's go.
There is no safe way to mix drugs. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet.
Located on 215 and South Rainbow.
Home of the...
Crews are still clearing a wreck on the way in from the Northwest Valley through the Rainbow Curve on 95 southbound. Before Rainbow, it's out of the travel lanes and well off to the right shoulder, but you can see a lot of slowdown through the curve there. It won't break up until you get past Jones there on southbound 95. Now a new accident as you close in on the Spaghetti Bowl, 95 southbound approaching Rancho. Southwest Beltway, not an accident, but some debris in the travel lanes to keep an eye out for on 215 eastbound near Rainbow's exit. On the surface streets in the west, an accident at Charleston and Jones, also one in the southeast at Durango and Pebble. That's southwest, rather. Triple digits will not be in the forecast this week. We should be stopping just short of 100 today. About 96 is today's high. It's 73 right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office shortly after I win the presidency because of you. I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two, live and local for a Monday, brand new week, brand new challenges, and no better way to begin the week than with Victor Jakes, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He joins us. Good morning, Victor. How you been?
I've been well, Kevin. Great to be with you.
I want to ask you about this Russian hackers thing, because this is scary. I mean, if they can do this to somebody like MGM Resorts or Caesars, they can do it to you and me. This whole Russian hackers thing, what do you make of it? The latest numbers, I saw it in the RJ today, that they're guesstimating between $4 and $8 million per day that MGM Resorts is losing. What do you make of all this?
Well, it's scary. I mean, I think you're exactly right that if they're doing it to a company as large as MGM, everyone is vulnerable to something like this. And, you know, the reason we aren't targeted is, you know, we don't have millions of dollars to pay in ransom, you know, if what's been reported is correct as to what's been happening. So I think there's a vulnerability with, you know, everything's gone electronic, everything's gone to computers, and there's obvious reasons for that. It's so fast and efficient and convenient. And this is the downside, and you don't like to see the downside. And hopefully law enforcement is able to, you know, arrest the people responsible. I presume they're in another country. So I'm not quite sure how that works, but, you know, let's hope MGM can get control of its systems back.
Are we defenseless? I mean, you mentioned being out of country, so to speak. I guess my question is, are we defenseless, or is there something our government should be doing to protect us?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know what the options would be. I don't know if it's something where we, you know, because it's kind of an interesting way to attack another country, right? It's not done by the government officially. It's not done against our government, or, you know, it's not leading to the deaths of people on the battlefield. And so I think, you know, warfare, if it is that, and it's not just, you know, economic piracy, is becoming a lot is like this, you know, because both Russia and the U.S. could kill each other with nuclear weapons, you have to kind of fight in different ways. And, you know, if as wars go on, I think this is going to be something where the attacks will happen.
What is there that we as a country, I mean, for instance, the FBI supposedly is on the case. Does that make you feel any better?
Well, I mean, I guess in some respects, yeah, I'm glad that they're doing something and glad they're aware of it. I mean, obviously they should be investigating it because it's a major issue. You know, you kind of are striking at the lifeblood of a company and by extension, Las Vegas's economy. And so it is good that federal law enforcement is doing this. I mean, this is the type of stuff that they're supposed to do, right? I mean, not attack school board parents, you know, speaking out at a school board meeting. You know, this is the kind of crimes they're supposed to be investigating. And I certainly hope they are able to determine who is responsible. And bring them, you know, hold them responsible, and you know, obviously, again, that MGM gets control of its systems back.
The word is that Caesars paid millions of dollars to hackers in an attack previously. Should MGM Resorts pay tens of millions of dollars, maybe $20-30 million, to get out from under this thing?
Well, it's such a terrible decision because, you know, the one hand, you'd actually be saving money if they're really losing, you know, $8 million a day, you know, it'd be better off just paying the money and going away. But the challenge is then is that, you know, then the hackers know, okay, this company will cave, and it can attract other hackers, and then you just are encouraging it in general. So I don't think there's an easy answer here. And, you know, obviously I respect MGM for not paying the hackers. I think that's good. But, you know, I also understand why a company would say, yeah, forget it. You know, this stinks and we just have to move on.
Again, Victor Jakes joining us, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, a regular Monday feature here on Live and Local. I want to ask you about the latest on CCSD, their negotiations with the teachers' union, and the fact that things aren't going well. What is the next step? Is it going to be arbitration for the two sides?
Yeah, that's right. They're going to arbitration right now. The district declared an impasse in the last couple of weeks. And so it's a very long process. You know, basically, they have to go through a process to select the arbiter, and then the arbiter kind of goes through a process to see if he can help them or she can help them negotiate a resolution. And then there's fact-finding and you know, finally a decision. So, you know, if arbitration is what happens, I would suspect you would see a result in, you know, maybe March or April. But, you know, the other thing that's going on is, you know, it's possible that the Clark County Education Association won't be here, at least in its current format, representing teachers in March or April, because the district, correctly in my opinion, has asked to remove them as the bargaining agent because they've encouraged a strike. They've disavowed their pledge not to strike, which is what the law says. If a union does that, then you can remove their bargaining status. And so you may see a resolution because of that. You know, a resolution may come sooner because if you know, the union is no longer the bargaining agent, I assume the district can just implement the contract that it wants.
Wow. The rolling sick out, was it indeed, from a legal standpoint, a strike, which is forbidden?
Oh, yeah. I think there's no doubt about it. You know, the strike... The law defines strike very broadly. It's not just everyone walks off the job at once. A rolling sick out is defined in the law as a strike. And you look at these numbers and you say, you know, oh, 65 to 85, 90% of teachers at one school for one day in the middle of a contract dispute just happen to call out sick hours before the school day starts. I mean, that's not... It's not happening by at random. It's just not. So I'm glad the court was willing to look at it and say, you know, look, we all know what's happening here, and we're going to call a spade and say that this is, you know, this is a strike, and, you know, the law lays out a procedure for what to do when a strike is going on, and credits the judge for following the law.
Are you surprised that the union lost in court?
You know, I'm only surprised because it seems so rare that judges follow the law. There's always a little bit of surprise of like, oh, the law was followed. This is a surprise. But I mean, the law is extremely clear. I mean, that you are not allowed to strike, and if the strike is happening, here's what the judge has to do. So, I was glad to see it. I was a little surprised, but not because, I mean, the law is very clear, and so it's just, you know, it's nice to see a judge following the law.
So what happens next? We're in this arbitration, and you're saying that arbitration, I mean, I'm shocked by this, that it could take till March or April to get a decision from an arbitrator?
Well, that's the short timeline. I mean, it could take all the way to next summer. So, I mean, we're kind of in a holding pattern. The union can do what it wants to do. You know, there were some comments by CCA Executive Director John Villardito last week that, you know, at least left me with the impression that, you know, maybe they're going to try and stage something wider. But, I mean, the union has really put themselves in a bad place because, you know, if there is any more obvious strike actions, The union can be fined $50,000 a day. The union officials can be sent to jail. The law is very strict when it there's real teeth in this idea that public employee unions aren't supposed to strike against the public. So the union is trapped because they can't really strike. They can't really, be too obvious with their rolling sick outs. But without that, there's no impetus for the public to demand a quicker resolution, to the demand that the district cave into what the union wants. I think you're just going to kind of have the morass and just people, just kind of both sides entrenched. It's amazing. From the news reports, the district has compromised at least three or four times, and the union's held to hasn't budged from its position. And so, if teachers want to raise, not 9 months from now, but today, they should be pressuring the union and saying, hey, look, the district's offering a 9% pay increase, and, plus all this other stuff. That's a pretty good deal. I like that money today and not in 9 months.
So what happens to the teachers now? Are they still working under last year's contract?
Yep, that's right. So they just stay under their current contract. The only difference is that there was a almost 4% increase in the PERS contribution, and so teachers have actually seen their paychecks go down by just a little bit under 2%, because that's their half of the increase, and so teachers are actually making less today than they were making, last school year. And again, I think teachers should be going to the union and saying, look, we've played our hand the best we can. Let's get to the table and actually make a deal.
Let me just ask you, if indeed the union is decertified, what happens then?
Well, the district is just like an employer in the private sector, where they come and they say, here's the contract we're offering. Are you interested? Take it or leave it. And people portray this as, oh, the district is just going to, cut teachers' salaries by 25%. And, teachers aren't going to, they're going to have to face these pay cuts and longer working conditions. And I just don't think you're going to see that at all. I mean, last year, the school district raised starting teacher pay by 16%. Under no contractual obligation. The district is eager to pay teachers more to work in Title I schools. Are you going to see some different things because the union's not there? Absolutely. But I don't think you're going to see the district scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to pay, because it knows it has to attract teachers. And, although I think the real problems in the district involve discipline and the grading system as to why teachers are burning out so fast, I think the district is going to continue to want to offer competitive pay to its teachers.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Victor, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much, my friend. You have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
There you have it. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Vivek Ramaswamy was on with Shannon Bream yesterday. Why is he branded as being annoying? That was the term they used. Annoying. We'll get to that and a whole bunch more coming up as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Debunking both liberal and conservative rhetoric, Dan Bongino, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over three decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's?
their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else has gotten back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn. Ron Quince has announced his candidacy for Congressional District 1. Ron Q is a conservative Republican who's lived in Southern Nevada for 20 years. He's no carpetbagger. Ron Q is a successful businessman and philanthropist. He's half the age of Nancy Pelosi, so he is the young blood that we need in Congress. So, Ron, why are you running?
When I look at my two little girls and their future, I can't sit around and watch the stupidity that comes out of this White House and continues to be supported by Dina Tynes. These people are nuts, and they're dangerous.